The opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds, and here we are again. Today is 7:18, and we are enjoying the studio here to ourselves today. It's going to be a little bit of a different show because Mark and Linda are both out on assignment today. So instead, I have brought in my lovely wife to help keep me company. Good morning, Edith.
Good morning.
And we also have the amazing producer extraordinaire, the owner of the magic button of silence, Travis, in there.
It's not the same when you do it, but I'll allow it.
I'm giving it a go.
You did good.
So this week has been pretty interesting across the board as far as what we're seeing from the White House and the current administration, as well as what we're not seeing within these same things. So we have a level of censorship that we have never seen before within this country. It's been seen in other countries in the 1930s where they go through and start censoring things. But I have a video here from Jen Psaki, who is suggesting that people spreading misinformation versus disinformation. So just so you know, disinformation is you're giving out information and you are lying and you know it. Misinformation is you're just giving out mistaken information. Well, she's suggesting that people spreading misinformation should be banned from all other platforms if they're banned from one. That's interesting.
So a couple of the steps that we have, that could be constructive for the public health of the country are providing for Facebook or other platforms to measure and publicly share the impact of misinformation on their platform and the audience it's reaching, also with the public, with all of you, to create robust enforcement strategies that bridge their properties and provide transparency about rules. You shouldn't be banned from one platform and not others if you are for providing misinformation out there. Taking faster action against harmful posts. So,
wow. That doesn't sound draconian at all.
Well, I find it interesting because their version of misinformation is mostly based on their opinion on what they believe. It's an opinion base. It's not actual misinformation.
Mm-hmm. Well, and in fact, most of these things that we end up seeing, it's like we were saying last week, is what's the difference between a conspiracy theory and the truth? It's basically ends up working out to about 8 months is what it ends up seeing. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, there's a lot of people that are out there that are just plain out crazy. But when you have actual fact-based evidence that goes back to the original sources, to where you're not having people that are playing the game of telephone, like what we see with a lot of these media companies and organizations, to where they go through and one company writes an article, and then another company cites that article, and then another company cites the previous two articles to build up why it's valid and credible. So one of the things that I've been saying for a long time is that in the masking protocols, if you're going to wear a mask, use either an N95 or an N99, and even that's not going to end up blocking all of the particulates and otherwise. We're talking about a virus that is so small, it will just go right through that, and that's been proven now in many different places where they end up saying that, yeah, it's not actually going to do the job that we were thinking it was, and Fauci said as much in the beginning, and then it started seeming like Fauci was taking his talking points from CNN. Like CNN would say something, and 2 days later he'd come out and we're stopping the droplets. Now, in my case, when I got sick and I think I ended up having COVID, I did put on a mask and I wore it specifically because I didn't want to get anybody else sick. But my mask was not a little cloth mask. My mask was an N99 mask that was specifically designed from an Indiegogo that I waited for 6 months to get. And then I wore that, and no one around me got sick. And so that is the type of thing that we end up seeing, that just by stating those, they would say, I'm misinformation, and I should be removed from all of these platforms completely. That's scary. I mean, what we're seeing right now is if you're not able to have these conversations, you end up running into these types of overreach. And to that point, we ended up seeing that over this last week, we had WeChat. Check this article out. This is from timcast.com, which, honestly, he's one of my favorite people to listen to. He gives you news and media in an unbiased way as much as possible. He's actually a left-leaning libertarian, is the way that he ends up saying. I would say I'm more of a right-leaning libertarian. But this is interesting right here. So WeChat purges Chinese LGBTQ groups. WeChat blocked and removed groups that were discussing LGBTQ topics. The platform is the most popular messaging app in China with over a billion users each month. Described at times as a super app, WeChat users are not only sending messages but make payments, promote their business, book flights, and search for nearby people with an ID or phone number. It's frequently used instead of emails in professional correspondence. So when you end up seeing the government overreach that's taking place here, it very much reminds me of the government overreach that's taking place there. Because in order to have a business in China, you have to have the Communist Party members that sit on your board, and they have a wing dedicated to making sure that you are operating by the Communist Party members' desires and what they want. So at the same time as we're trying to radicalize our military, and we see that we have Navy captains and Navy generals that have come out and said, yeah, we are doing this training over here to turn around and get people to where they're racially being trained over the actual training of how to do their jobs. And we're ending up seeing that bad things are happening within our Navy, and our Navy is not up to par even on standing watch. And you already have generals that are saying, hey, my guys are being told that they're capable of these positions and we're passing them on these positions, but we're actually giving them the real training that they're supposed to be doing on a disc or in a book and saying, do it on your free time and instead go to this discrimination training instead, go to this CRT training over here. And this is making our military weak at the same time as China is pushing up their military.
So what do you mean, as in they're training them how to not be discriminatory instead of actual military training that they're supposed to be doing?
Yes, so what they're doing is they're doing critical race theory, and they're doing these woke agendas, which is not just about, hey, let's come together as races. That should be right. That's what we want. We want people to be treated equally, completely. I believe personally in the Martin Luther King dream of one day I want to just be a guy that is equal to everybody else.
Yes, but that's not what's happening. It sounds like it sounds like they're bringing more segregation by saying, telling them, oh, well, you need to learn, know about, oh, this person's race and that in order to not be discriminatory, yet you're bringing race into the situation.
Well, and it's so bad that they are even now at this point going through and saying, hey, we've had too many white people speak, so you're not able to, and we need to have this many white people speak, and we need to have this many black people speak, and if we have too many of one side or the other, you're just not going to get a say, and you're not going to get a voice. And that's shutting down ideas. So let's talk a little bit about your experience. You're first generation Latina here in the country. What's been your experience? I mean, when you met me, you were not political.
No.
In fact, you didn't like Trump.
Yeah, at first I didn't like Trump, and mostly I was following also with the media narrative that he was racist, and it was because I was watching the clips without actually looking at the full videos of those clips that they were bringing out saying that he was racist and that he didn't want people from Mexico coming here. So once I started, like, you were showing me the videos of, like, the whole actual thing and what he was actually saying was completely different from what I was seeing from the media.
And from the media narrative, it was clearly racist what he was saying.
Yes, from the media, the way they made it sound by their editing, it did sound like he was being racist. But when you actually go back and actually look at the whole thing as the whole, clearly it was taken the wrong way. It was not how they portrayed him to be.
So after that experience of going through and starting to discover your love for politics and your interest in it and where you stand on your side, what was your experience from the left and how they ended up treating you?
Well, I could go and say a lot. Most of the stuff that I was told is not, you know, radio. But the minor things that have been said to me was that I was whitewashed for, like, opening my mind and being, like, relearning the history and everything and re-educating myself to understanding and being more open, which you hear the left say, oh, you need to be more open. Well, I was opening myself to new history, the actual history, really, and the information, and actually understanding it and actually being open to it. And because of that, because I was like, wow, that my political views actually fit more into a more conservative, more traditional standpoint. And because of that, because I, like, was, for me, I'm open-minded in the standpoint that, yeah, I took the time to understand things on the right side and not, like, be upset about it and going off. So because of that, I was called whitewash. I'm officially a coconut. And one time I was actually called an Uncle Tom, but which doesn't kind of make sense because I'm not a black conservative. I'm Hispanic. I'm a Latina.
For those of us that don't know, what is a coconut?
Okay, so coconut is when you're saying you're brown on the outside, but you're, like, basically acting white.
Do you remember back in, when I was a kid, they used to call them Oreos, where you were black on the outside, but you were white on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And this was in the 90s, so, I mean, this type of stuff has been happening for years. So, yeah, Oreo, coconut, whatever, you know. I'm Native American, so I wonder what Redskin with white inside is. A Twizzler with the cream? I mean, what are they going to call me, you know? But, no, I understand, totally.
Cream-filled Twizzler.
There you go. I'm a cream-filled Twizzler.
And so what we're seeing right now is that we have a complete government takeover of every film industry, of every media industry, and we're the ones that are the crazies. We're the ones that are the fringe radicals on the right for saying,
close-minded.
Hey, wait, I'll take all of this in. I'll read all of this. But I'm also going to look at the other side of the page. So a lot of people, they don't realize that I spend probably close to about 20, 30 hours a week listening and taking in information, a lot of times information I disagree with, because I want to know these other sides of things. I want to be able to see where we actually can enact a change and make a difference. And really what we got to start doing as a people is going out there, democratically electing these people that we want in our local communities, which is what Shasta Recall is about. It's what this whole thing with the red, white, and blueprint to show all these other communities what to do with your community and how to enact the changes that you want to see and how to help the next generation. We've got elections that are coming up in September that are going to decide who sits on the school board and who decides what's actually going to be going and taught to your children. And if you want your children to have an understanding of the Constitution, have an understanding of the founders and of the documents in the Federalist Papers, and have a true history that is there, taking into account the good and the bad that goes on within the country overall. Because when you look at this world, all land is stolen land. And before we came here, correct me if I'm wrong, Travis, before we came here, tribes were killing tribes and taking land.
Yep.
And
everyone had slaves. Everyone was slave owner. It was, I mean, you know, it's history. It's still happening. It's always going to be happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was going to say, that it's history. It's, I mean, it's just things that happen. That's the way civilizations are created, how they come to be. But if you really think, I heard some people say, well, you're on stolen land, and we were here first, we were the natives here first. Yes, but you also have to understand that even though the people that are living now haven't done anything to colonize other people now, it was something that was in our history from the beginning. Everyone of every ethnicity, background, race has had someone in their ancestors that has done something like that.
Well, and let's take Mexico, for instance. What happened with Mexico and Spain?
I was just going to say that. That's why you have blue-eyed, blonde-haired Mexicans even now.
Exactly. Spain came to Mexico and colonized the people there, the natives there.
Yeah, the Aztecs, the Incas, mm-hmm. and the Mayans, all those, yeah.
I mean, you look at Rome, you look at what took place there. At one point, Rome was trying to conquer the entire world. You had Alexander the Great, who is probably the world's meanest Call of Duty player at 13, trying to conquer the world.
Right.
So when we go through these things, understand that this is history. And if you try to eliminate history and say, we're not going to talk about this, we're not going to discuss this, we're going to end up putting a different tint on this for some political agenda, it doesn't do us any good as a nation. What we need to be doing and what we need to be focusing on is moving past. Because right now we're diving back into our history to change our history. We're literally changing words on a daily basis. Here's a new one for you. Did you know anti-vax now doesn't mean that you're opposed to vaccinations? Now it means you're opposed to mandated vaccinations, according to Webster's Dictionary. So apparently you're an anti-vaxxer if you don't want to have a law that forcibly jabs an experimental medication into your arm or otherwise. That's what's considered anti-vax now.
Wow.
And so we're at a place in history to where we still have slavery that's taking place in a lot of other nations, in a lot of other places. They are beheading gays and tossing them off buildings in places like Iraq, Iran, and Afghanistan. They have the Uyghur Muslims who are over in China, who are being forced into slave labor, who are being sterilized, who are being taken advantage of and raped and otherwise. And these are all taking place right now.
We even have sex slavery here that's still prevalent.
Mm-hmm. And
in our town, even.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've known people personally who have been taken, abducted from this town, taken to Vegas, and sold on the sex market.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
And we have real things that we can be fighting right now instead of dragging up old history.
The past, yes. We have current slavery, like sex slavery, as we were talking about, to focus on. We've abolished slavery for race and ethnicity. Now we have to work on something, a solution for the now, instead of focusing on the past that pretty much has already been fixed and abolished. So,
well, and that's the thing. So if there is a systemic racism that is going on within our country, systemic meaning it is from our government, if it's something that you can't do but me as a white man can do, I want to work to abolish that. But right now I'm hearing that from people like Abram X. Kendi, the only basis for past discrimination is future discrimination. So we're going to discriminate against this race and actually make it harder on them because this happened in the past to people that aren't even alive anymore. That's the definition of insanity, is doing the same thing expecting different results.
Yeah, exactly the same thing.
What's it going to be then? Based upon that same exact logic, all right, if future discrimination is the only way to deal with past discrimination, then what? Is it going to be the whites in the future are going to be able to discriminate against the blacks again and we go around in this full circle? Is that what it is?
And is it only race or is it classism or is it sexism? What are we discriminating against?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what does that actually really mean?
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. It's always changing. we never know. It's day by day almost. It's crazy.
Well, and they'll change the definition of words to fit that, because at this point we can all see the inherent injustices that are taking place. The mom and pop business who just sells $10 items in their store gets shut down, while Amazon gets the government subsidies to the tune of about $1.31 for every package that they send out via UPS. You ever wondered why you get 15 packages from Amazon and they don't just put them all in one box and send them to you? It's because they got basically like $20 kickback to be able to send them in all those different packages, despite the fact it's a one-pound item. So what we're seeing right now is we're seeing the largest transfer of wealth from the middle and lower income people to the upper echelons of people, like the Jeff Bezoses of the world and the Bill Gates of the world and all the rest of these folks that have these sweetheart deals with our government. And this is continuing forwards to make us all basically a slave race together, and it's based upon classism. Because they don't care. They get to fly around on their private jets all day long and get to tell us how us driving our vehicles are the problem. No. Like, honestly, we don't live in a free market system. Let's think about this for a second. You have a situation to where they're trying to make it to where trade and the amount of money and things like that are globally, worldwide, the same. To where you have to abide by all of these rules set up internationally, but these other countries have slave labor and we have $15 an hour minimum wage. And people don't really get that if somebody who's making $28 ends up not getting a raise and a person who was making $7.50 an hour bumps up to $15 an hour, that causes the prices of goods everywhere to go up. The only person that ends up winning when that takes place is the government, because now there's all these new people who are able to get into this new tax bracket, and they're able to charge more taxes based upon the fact that you're making $15 an hour, but your burgers and your stuff like that, look at it. I remember when I was a kid. You guys remember the dollar menu?
Oh, yeah. Or the 30, it was a 29-cent hamburger Wednesday and 39-cent cheeseburger Sunday.
Oh, and dude, I don't know what it was. Maybe it was just my mind. But when I was a kid, like McDonald's burgers, their cheeseburgers, 25 cents. Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
I pop like one or two of those. And oh, yeah.
That's it? Come on now.
But now think about this. How much does that 25-cent burger cost you now?
It's almost $2.50, right?
Easy.
Yeah.
And then you're also taxed on top of that. So you look at who's actually winning when this takes place. It's these big corporations, and it's these governments that are taxing us to death. I mean, it's basically a really simple equation that when everything goes up, the cost of goods must go up to end up keeping that same thing. But it looks like we've got to go to a break real quick, and we'll follow this up with a lot more information. You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. If you'd like to call in, the number is 605-4567.
If you lie to the government, they'll put you in prison. But when they lie to all of us, it's called being a politician. You think taking guns away will save our kids from the killings? But you're pro-choice, abortion kills way more children. If America's so terrible and racist, it probably isn't safe to encourage immigration. Just saying, all the contradictions are embarrassing. You know who hates America the most? Americans. Trigger warnings used to be on TV for seizures, and now they're everywhere to protect millennials' feelings. He, she, his, him, hers, them, they. Screw a pronoun, cause everyone's a retard these days. I hear him preaching at the protests that hatred's the problem, but hating straight men, white folks, and Christians is common. Coca-Cola telling people they should be less white. They preach intolerance, but if you disagree, they fight. There's a race war here, elections based on fear. Black lives only matter once every 4 years. Soldiers died for this country, and every one of us benefits. Give welfare to the bums and forget about the veterans. Black folks and white folks divided by the news, but we are all the same. We are red, white, and blue. Ashamed to be American? Okay, that's cool. Cause honestly, we are all ashamed of you too.
Y'all are so fake. Oh no. The forecast said that there'd be snow flakes. Whoa. You can make us see it your way. No way. Gasoline and propane. More flames.
Hey guys, Dave Ramsey here. Join me and the Ramsey personalities as we give you the tools and motivation you need to win in the areas of money, career, and more right here on The Ramsey Show. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
This is KCNR Radio, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, and streaming live at KCNR1460.com with Carl and Linda Bach.
Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
That's what they built the system for. Put an ammunition shop across the street from a liquor store. Empowering women used to be different than this before. The role models got OnlyFans or dance on a stripper pole. Screw it, I'm tripping. I don't mean to be mean. But if our children are the future, then our future is bleak. They take an Adderall to focus, hit McDonald's to eat. They're addicted to phones and they take Xanax to sleep. They've blurred the lines dividing communism and democracy. In 2021, we paint the patriots as Nazis. The men playing women's sports get trophies for winning. Like, great, let's celebrate a man for beating some women. If you're black, your life matters, you're supposed to embrace it. If you're rich or you're smart, then you're probably Asian. If you're gay, then you're brave. All of that I'm okay with. But if you're white, the stereotype is you are a racist. Blaming capitalism like that's the reason things are tough. While you tweet from an iPhone and sip on a Starbucks. You're supporting what you stand against. You don't think you are, but a Percocet addict don't donate money to pharma. Damn, dog, we're all afraid to speak the truth. And the more afraid we get, the more we hate the ones who do. You're ashamed to be American? Okay, that's cool. Because honestly,
we are all ashamed of you too.
Y'all are so fake. Oh no, the forecast said that there.
Tom McDonald, man. He is. The interesting story about this guy is he has Nova Rockefeller, and that's it. That's who the team is for that artist, and he is constantly hitting number one on the charts, despite the fact he didn't sign to a label, he didn't get golden handcuffs. Because this is what I think a lot of people don't understand, and you see it from the people that actually end up coming out afterwards. These contracts, you think it's a dream, you think you're going to be able to make a difference, you think you're going to be able to get onto the radio, or get a program, and get a movie career, or get a artist to be able to, or label to be able to sign you as an artist. And then next thing you know, they're telling you what you can write about, what you can say, what you can do. Have you ever wondered why everything looks the same, sounds the same, is the same? It's this big box that they've built around us to where you constantly are reaffirmed in everything that they end up saying one way or another based upon all of these idols that you look up to, all of these pop stars and rock stars and movie stars that all have their contracts to not make anybody look bad. So you have people like Gina Carano who come out and just say something as simple as, maybe we should actually love each other and love one another and love our neighbors and stop looking at everyone like they're the bad guy, and she loses her job for it. I mean, it's insanity. But this is the golden handcuff age, to where you then are in that contract for the next 2 or 3 years, and if you want to say what you want, you're not able to, and they won't let you out of the contract. And we were hearing this story time and time again. This was on Timcast IRL last night, to where he had a person that was on that said this exact same thing, to where they would not let him say anything he wanted. And he went to him and said, I want to do this. And they said, no. And he's like, all right, well, can I get out of the contract? They said, no. We're still going to pay you, but you're not going to say or do anything. Those are golden handcuffs. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, it's really true that that's what's happening, because at least from, like, watching the Disney Channel Star Kids that also went from being young actors to singers, and then finding out after that they went through a whole bunch of trauma because of this contract that they were signed into, saying that they're being told, oh, well, I can't have an opinion, and I have to say what they say. And they actually script these opinions for them to spill out for their audience in order to follow into what they want you to believe. These people, like, they get used and are used to get people to follow their agendas and everything, and some of them, like, do end up wanting to get out and talk about it and actually expose. But then some of the other actors or singers, artists, they actually fall into it, and they're like, well, I'm getting paid this much, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's part of why we saw people like Paul Walker, who ended up, he was telling his dad he wanted to get out, and he didn't want to do it anymore, and he was done with the industry. He was sick of what they were doing, and he wanted to get out of it. So you end up having somebody that says something like that, and the next thing you know, you're dead. That's how you get these conspiracy theories that are out there around it. And I don't think he was murdered or killed. I think it was just a bad circumstance. But it's something that's known within the industry. It's something to where you have the Weinsteins of the world that can use and abuse these kids constantly. And it's known and it's pervasive within the industry. And it takes a comedian making a joke about it right in front of the world to where it's so well known that we just don't even bat an eye. I mean, at this point, most of the population, it's over 50%, believes Epstein was Epstein. We have a verb now in our culture to show what I'm talking about on this. And these lies that are just all around us are causing people not to think.
And what about this last week? Speaking of Nickelodeon, one of the guys that direct a lot of those shows was just called out for his, child nastiness. Mm-hmm. It's coming up from everywhere.
Well, there's a lot of this too. Like, how did Netflix think Cuties was okay?
Oh God, yeah, I don't even want to start there.
And so, that all said, the only way we're ever going to start getting out of this is to take it back at a local level. Is to end up doing what we can within our community to make our communities better. And a lot of people have so much pomp and so much anger at everyone at the other sides that we're not talking even on the same wavelengths, because we're doing all of this democratically. It's not a battle in the streets. It's not gunfights or war. It's not something to where we need to have the vitriol that goes back and forth, that we need the hatred, that we need the death threats or anything else like that. This is democratically the way things are. And we have a system that we've relied on for more than 200 years so that it doesn't become those things. We have a system whereby we're able to go out and democratically elect our representatives and be able to have representation. And if you don't respect that process, you end up getting violence and things like that, as we see in these other nations. And it's concerning. I wanted to talk a little bit about what's going on over in Cuba right now. What's some of the things that you've seen on that?
On that one, okay, so that's what's interesting is that I'm hearing,
and
like, from...
So she's actually, the reason why I'm asking her directly and pointedly on that is she speaks Spanish. She sees the videos of these people directly, and it's not third-person translations. So go.
So that's what I find interesting, as I was saying, is that you actually watch the videos of the people there calling for libertad, which means liberty, freedom, and that their government is kidnapping their sons at a very young, as young as preteens to young adults, to put them in their army in order to continue on controlling the people there and taking their freedoms away. Obviously, their freedoms are already taken. It's already a communist country. But they want to keep control. And you see, like, I've seen videos of mothers, like, fighting the soldiers from, like, kidnapping their children to put them into these camps in order to turn them into soldiers.
Mm-hmm. And indoctrinate them.
Mm-hmm. Indoctrinate them as well. And
one that I was watching just this morning on it was, there was a woman that was, she had escaped Cuba, and she had gotten out of there, and she ended up saying how they used to have guns, and they used to have freedom with firearms. And what Cuba ended up doing is they said, we need you to register all of these firearms and register all of your ammunition. And then after that, they basically just went door to door and took all the guns, and anybody that resisted was executed. And so we have our White House that is going out and saying, oh, no, it's about COVID, and it's about masking, and it's about social distancing, and they're upset about it. And you have AOC that's coming out and saying that it's actually America's fault that these people don't have anything, and that we are not giving them what we have, and it's causing them problems.
Exactly. That's what I was, exactly what I was going to say, that you're hearing two different stories, but the people, like, not seeing the actual videos of the actual people firsthand of, like, as themselves is completely different from what people are hearing of why they're in that situation. It's not because of the COVID. It's not because they want, like, you know, the whole embargo thing to, okay. How do I explain the embargo aspect of that?
It's not that they want the embargo to end and be able to trade freely with America and otherwise.
No, they want their freedom from their government, who is controlling, they took away their freedoms, they don't have freedoms at all, and that's what they're fighting for, their freedom.
They don't have the freedom of speech, they don't have their Second Amendment, they mm-hmm. don't have anything across the board, and what we're actually seeing on a lot of these is that these people are so hungry, they're breaking into the zoos and eating the animals in the zoo.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're protesting, and that's what the government is seeing fit to.
And they're being killed because of it. Mm-hmm. Like, I've seen videos of women and children and the men who are at these protests getting shot down by their own government.
Mm-hmm.
Just for...
for standing up.
Exactly, for standing up, for fighting.
And the thing people need to understand on this is that a government doesn't silence their people because their people are wrong. A government silences their people because they're afraid of what they have to say. And so when they shut down the internet and they shut down means of communication and make it to where people can't actually speak out at all, it's pretty easy to tell who's not the good guy here. And this actually brings me back to full correlation on what we were seeing from Jen Psaki. If you give misinformation, again, information that is just not true, but you think it's true, versus disinformation, it's not true, and you know it's not true. She says misinformation should get banned from every platform. You shouldn't be on any of them. If you get banned from one, you should be banned basically completely from the internet. And the scary thing is, with where we're at, we're already looking at a place to where everything now is digital. Your bank accounts are digital. Everything else is digital. This is one step away from being able to say, we can just shut you off completely if we disagree with you. And this is what we're seeing over there in Cuba right now as well. And so you've got Cuba, Venezuela, we have all this recent history that's been showing itself time and time again, and it's playing out right here in our own nation, and everybody's eyes are just on Cuba, not realizing that Jen Psaki's literally doing and saying the same thing that the Cuban government is doing to their people.
Exactly. It, looking at those countries should be an example of what we don't want to happen. They're fighting for their freedom because it was already taken from them, and they want it back. But we still have our freedoms, and we should try to take that example of saying, hey, this is what happened to them. We cannot allow that to happen here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. And to that note, we had President Trump that was being called a racist for telling people that they were going to stay in Mexico and not come into our country and be held within our country, they'll stay there while we end up processing their asylum paperwork. That was racist.
Mm-hmm.
However, you have somebody that comes from Cuba and they hop on a raft and they swim across to the Americas here, and they're saying, no, we're not going to take you in. Well, when they go back, they're executed. So in terms of asylum and in terms of what racism is, you got buffalo hot wings in Mexico. You got nothing in Cuba. So really, let's look at the perspective of who's really actually being the racist. And in my opinion, why they don't want Cubans here is because Cubans have seen what socialism and communism is firsthand.
They've experienced it, yes. And knowing that, do you guys honestly believe that they will vote for communism and socialism here knowing what they went through? No, they won't. And that's exactly why they're not allowing the asylum seekers from Cuba coming here, because they know it's over from there. Because they will tell us their experience. They will show us that they will know right away the steps that our government's taking in order to get our nation the way their country is.
Mm-hmm. And all of this, it's, you have these people that are supporting things like socialism and otherwise that are here that are thinking it's going to be great. We're all going to go up together and it's all going to be awesome and it's all going to be wonderful. But you look at what's taking place right now. You can't hire anybody right now because they're already paying so much money for people to stay home. You can't get products right now. You can't get an Xbox. You can't get a PS4. You can't get graphics cards. You can't get pretty much anything else that is a item that takes somebody to labor and make. It's a failed process from the get-go. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but I think that there's some people that need to hear it. And it's not from a thing of, oh, we hate you. We think that we're better than you. It's not that we want to make all of this money. Because you know what? I'm the same guy that ends up working 110 hours every 2 weeks, and I'm just barely getting by. I'm the guy that wants to see everybody be able to prosper and flourish based upon their merit and what they put in. And right now, I'm saying that we have the same view, but a different way to solve the problem. And one way we already know will fail, and one way we already know will succeed. Because in the 1930s, America represented 20.9% of the total GDP wealth for the entire world. We were that good, y'all. We had most of the world's wealth because we were free here to be able to start up and to make companies and not have all these red tape and jurisdictional problems that we have. Right now, we're living in crony capitalism, which is the Marxist word, and it is what it is. But we need the free markets. We need to be able to open up a business. We need to be able to have a drive-through without paying a city $30,000 for a permit. That's not capitalism. That's basically our government representing us through stealing all of our money and not caring what we think. And right now we're seeing this from the bottom to the ground up. Why is it that we represent or we elect somebody to represent us and yet they're following literally word for word the Great Reset game plan? Are they representing us or are they representing a global world economy with the Build Back Better World plan we just signed up for on June 12th? That is promising $40 trillion to bring up the rest of the world to what the G7 countries are. That doesn't help anybody. The programs that have actually been helping people are to teach them how to grow agriculture, to show them how to produce goods and services, and to make it to where they're actually able to make a difference in their own communities by their own hands. Because what ends up happening otherwise is we have all this food that we're wasting here in America. Or we did. But they used to say, hey, let's take all this food and send it over there. That sounds great and all. But the bleeding hearts need to understand that if you just take a bunch of food and give it to people that are starving, those same people are just going to end up breeding and having more kids, and you end up having more food that needs to be sent over to these same people because you've allowed a circumstance that otherwise wouldn't be there. And they still don't have the problem of getting their agriculture, of getting their food, of getting their services to be able to actually grow at that same rate as population growth. So it's a failed premise at the very beginning and the onset of it.
What's interesting is, especially with Cuba, is you have legitimate political refugees that this government does not want to hear from. That's why we're putting up the fence. Yet on the southern border, we could care less. Come one, come all, just disperse them throughout the country because they don't have a voice. They don't have something important to say. So we got to shut these guys up.
Exactly. And so this is what we're seeing time and time again. And this is one of the things that also is not being reported by the media is how many of these kids are being brought in. Because now we're seeing to where they're sending these kids on these dangerous treks with no parents because this administration's like, hey, send your kids. We'll let the kids in. That sounds cool and all until you end up seeing that kids are going 300 miles by themselves and they're dying out there in the desert. And then when they do end up coming here, they're flying them on our military planes in the dead of night and dropping them off throughout the country. And we don't even know where all of these people are. And at the same time, we've got drugs. We've got problems that are coming over our border. And they've allowed this. You look at our government, and we have unclassified documents talking about how they ran drugs across our borders for profit for the CIA. We look at all the things that all the rappers that came out and said, hey, back in the 1960s, we were paid to rap about these drugs and to rap about these guns and rap about these other things. You want to talk about systemic racism? That is a government that is turning around and using its own populace to change the minds and hearts of their own populace. In the 1960s, the rate of fatherlessness was 1 in 10 within black communities and minority communities. Now you see fatherlessness completely reversed. 1 in 10 is there for their kids. And that's one of the biggest impacts of whether or not you're actually going to be able to have a good life is whether or not you have two parents in the household to be able to train you, to be able to help you. The thing that I see that is systemic racism is why is it that a black mother or a minority mother or just a mother in general that has a man in the house is actually penalized for having a man in the house? If they're on welfare, it's better for them to be able to kick that man out and get the $64,000 a year in government benefits than it is to have that man around who's making $30,000 and they're barely scraping by. But having that man in the house is also the reason why those kids are instilled values from both a mother and a father and not having that void that's there. Those are my thoughts.
Well, now we've got a brand new program where we're going to pay people just to have kids.
Well,
so what do you think is going to be the result there? Oh, if we have three more children, that's you know another $600 or $900 a month.
Well, and it's even more than that. I mean, so from ages 1 to 6, it's $300 per kid. And from 6 to 17, it's $250 per kid, so long as I think it's like $150,000 is the cutoff. And so you end up seeing these things that are going on right now. You see all of these fringe benefits that people are getting right now because of COVID, and it works out to vast amounts of money. It works out to about $16 an hour, plus you have your health care taken care of. Plus, you end up having now this government stimulus money if you have kids. And I'm all for helping people, but look around. Look at the help wanted signs that are on every window of every business. I was in Walmart the other day. They had two checkers. They had three people that were trying to stock shelves, and there's no items on the shelf. It's about halfway completely cleared out, and it looked like it did at the beginning of the pandemic when everybody was basically going through and mass buying. And we're starting to see that more and more. And my concern, my honest, legitimate concern is, according to Future.com, about 3 weeks ago, the true rate of unemployment within this nation right now is about 33 million people. Well, according to the jobs report, at any given time, there's between about 6.8 and 7.3 million jobs that are available. And some of those jobs are never going to be filled because, quite frankly, they suck and the employers don't deserve to have anybody fill those jobs. Like, honestly, Amazon would probably be one of them. You got somebody that's not even allowing bathroom breaks or this, that, or the other thing. They're being tracked on a daily basis to a level that is just eerie and creepy, and they're treating humans like robots within their warehouses so much so that they wanted to unionize. And interestingly enough, Amazon didn't support people having voter identification or voting in person when the elections were going on, but when their workers wanted to vote to unionize, they said, no, we can't do mail-in votes, we can't do this, and we had to show up to be able to actually vote. It's weird the way that you end up seeing that, hey, one side wants one thing, one side wants the other thing, but it's still the same side. Funny, huh? But the thing is in September, all they'd have to do is end the unemployment, if that number is true, with the 33 million people. And you're going to have 22, 23 million people that, through no fault of their own, are unemployed at that point. They would like to have a job, but you can't start a job in an area to where nobody can get goods and services anyway right now. You can't start a business when you can't get anything to sell. You can try to do a service business, but there's only so much of that to go around. So they've created a problem that then they can solve with socialism. And you already see these people pushing forward these bills for $2,000 a month payments to every man, woman, and child. I mean, that's basically what it looks like their plan is, especially with the Great Reset and otherwise.
The scary thing is it looks like their plan is working. People are lining up.
Well, and so this is the thing I'd like to encourage people with, is that you don't need propaganda if the battle is lost. And even within the Great Reset and what I ended up reading a while ago from the article in 2016, they talked about the city that was outside of their control, that the people that were living outside of their towns, and they made it sound like it was a bad thing. Well, you know what? I'd rather be outside of the town than be in a place to where I'm tracked and I don't own anything and I have nothing to my name, not even the shirt on my back. I'd rather be in a place to where I have something and that I'm working towards something, and I'm working towards something that I can give my children and that I can instill those values and beliefs. The whole idea of an automated world and I'm not in my house, so somebody else is using it for business, that's insanity. You're rats in a cage at that point. You're on the little spinning wheel.
Well, and that's what they want. They want the control of the minds of the people.
Well, and that was the last line in the thing, to where this is from We Form themselves. This article, and the last line of it, they actually ended up saying that I'm tracked everywhere I go. They know everything I do. They even know what I dream. I don't know how that is. I've seen some articles just in the past week talking about how they're having paralysis people that are able to have their thoughts be read out, and they're able to just think what they're thinking, and it will actually put it into words so people can read it in these future technologies. But I don't know. I've been wrapping my head around that, because it would be one thing if it's just some crackpot conspiracy guy that's out there. It's another thing when you have the world leaders getting together and doing a plan for the G7 that involves $40 trillion. The amount of money that is insane. The amount of money that we have, our nation's debt clock only shows like $23 trillion right now for our entire nation. Yet we're now committed to $40 trillion with these other seven countries. Nobody's talking about the scope or scale of that. But anyway, we're coming up here on a break shortly. You are listening to KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and we'll be right back here with you.
All right, so what are we going to talk about?
We'll be right back. The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Herron. Pandemic restrictions on Florida-based cruise ships will remain in place after a federal appeals court temporarily blocked a previous ruling that sided with a Florida lawsuit challenging the regs. The one-paragraph decision by the 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals was filed at 10 minutes to midnight last night, just before a Tampa judge's previous ruling on the CDC restrictions was to take effect. The lawsuit claims the CDC's multi-step process is overly burdensome. The death toll from flooding in Western Europe is mounting as rescue workers scramble to clear debris.
The toll has passed 180 deaths, with the majority coming from the hard-hit Ahrweiler area in Western Germany. In neighboring North Rhine-Westphalia states, Germany's most populous, dozens were also confirmed dead, including several firefighters. There were also many casualties in Belgium. Although rain has stopped in the worst affected areas of Germany, Belgium and the Netherlands, storms and downpours have persisted in other parts of Western and Central Europe. There was flooding on the German-Czech border and in Germany's southeastern corner, as well as in neighboring Austria. I'm Karen Chamas.
Boeing is temporarily lowering its delivery target for the 787 Dreamliner.
The company says the 787 production rate will temporarily be lower than 5 per month and will gradually return to that rate. Boeing now anticipates delivering less than half the 787s currently in inventory this year. It's another setback for the two-aisle 787, which is popular on longer routes.
Correspondent Jeremy House. South Korea is sending military aircraft to replace the entire 300-member crew of a Navy destroyer on an anti-piracy mission off East Africa. This after 70 of them tested positive for the virus. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Let's be boring and do a commercial about cash-out refinances. It's Ryan, and our mortgage team will often have a listener say, I think I understand what a cash-out refinance is, but can't that be bad for you sometimes? So let's hit on that. As with anything, it's certainly not the right move for everyone. If we don't have to, we don't want to add a bunch of years onto our loan, or increase our monthly payment too much, or pay more in the long run. But because home values have skyrocketed so far up the last few years, while rates have come so far down, we've seen many scenarios where listeners today can pull out a significant chunk of money from the new value in their home while lowering the years on the overall loan, while lowering their monthly payment, and lowering how much they ultimately pay. The key is to just look at the whole picture and be honest with yourself about your situation. If you're looking for someone to show you your options, we are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to animalsconsumeraccess.org. Corporate animals, number 1330. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
Republicans have a challenge ahead of them in Virginia's governor's race. We get a report on what's going on in the Old Dominion from correspondent Keith Peters.
Democrat Terry McAuliffe significantly outraised Republican Glenn Youngkin in the most recent campaign finance reports. McAuliffe also holds a significant lead in cash on hand. Reports filed with the Department of Elections show McAuliffe raised $7.4 million in cash in the most recent reporting period. Youngkin raised $3.5 million. McAuliffe reported $9 million in cash on hand compared to $2.6 million for Youngkin. The reports also show Youngkin spent significantly more money than McAuliffe in the reporting period. Youngkin spent $5.2 million compared to $1.6 million for McAuliffe. Youngkin is a political newcomer and has flooded the airwaves with ads to introduce himself to voters. Keith Peters reporting.
News and analysis at townhall.com. Support for a referendum to legalize marijuana in Maryland.
State House Speaker Adrian Jones supports putting the issue on next year's ballot and is putting together a working group to study how to implement a recreational marijuana program if voters approve. She says the House will pass legislation early next year to put the question before the voters. The working group will begin meeting this fall. The District of Columbia, Virginia, and 17 other states have already legalized recreational use.
Correspondent Ron DeRockstra. Today is Sunday, July the 18th, and some famous people are celebrating a birthday, including skating champion and commentator Dick Button. He is 92 years old. Movie director Paul Verhoeven is 83. Baseball Hall of Famer Joe Torre has 81 candles on his cake. Business mogul Richard Branson, just back from space. 71 years old, retired NBA star Penny Hardaway is 50. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Got a little bit of polka going on there.
Okay. Polka. Okay, listen here. Listen here, young man. That is classic Southern soul right there.
Classic Southern soul.
Yes, that's a group called the California Honey Drops, and they're out of Louisiana.
Why are they called California then?
The California Honey Drops. That's their band name.
Yeah, but they're out of Louisiana, so
well,
wouldn't
they're Cajun. They're Southern rock. That's the good stuff.
Wouldn't it be like Louisiana Honey Drop? I mean, that sounds better. I mean,
what's wrong with California, David?
I mean, there's a lot wrong with California. If you want me to go into it,
I'll try to pump us up. Let's do this.
I like it. I like it. So, folks, we have a couple of guests here in the studio with us. We have Bob and Jeff, and I'll let them introduce themselves.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. My name is Bob Holsinger. I'm here today with Jeff Lowe. Jeff and I are co-coordinators for the Election Integrity Project of California, or as we call it, EIP-CA.com webpage, short for short. I'm Election Integrity is a 9-year-old nonpartisan company in that we do not participate in any political campaigns nor endorse any candidates for public office. We're a 501c3 and a 501c4 nonprofit community service program or company. And election integrity is very critical to access our success of any elections, and that's one of the things we do. And to do that, over the years, we've trained several thousand volunteers throughout California as election observers. These volunteers are trained in the California election codes, and typically they donate anywhere from 4 to 12 hours of their time, up to actually several days of their time, in support of election integrity. Our volunteers are scheduled to observe individual precinct polls and the ballot processing process when the ballots come through the front door of the election register of voters office, all the way to the time that they're fully vetted, fully counted, tabulated, and put back into storage boxes for storage as required by law. Our volunteers are typically scheduled to observe a different precinct polls throughout the county, of which there are 60 individual precincts. And as a popular quote from President Reagan back in the 80s was, in dealing with nuclear disarmament, he was saying, trust but verify. We believe our elections are fair. Our responsibility, our position is trust but verify. You get what you verify, and that's what we do as election integrity. We observe as necessary and document any election integrity issues that we observe in the fields or in the process of balloting or ballots. And with this in mind, I'm asking our listeners to support this effort by going to our webpage at EIP-CA.com or phonetically, that would be EdwardIndiaPaul-CA.com. And signing up to volunteer in Shasta County, or even if you live in Tehama County, the same application or the same interest form there will allow you to register for Tehama County as well. The gubernatorial recall election, as you probably already know, is fast approaching. From September 14th is when we'll all go to polls. The vote-by-mail ballot will be coming out very early in September, so here it comes at us.
Well, and then also during that time period for September, we also have quite a few of the school representative spots as well that's coming up. Is that correct?
this will be a dedicated election for just recall of the gubernatorial candidates.
Okay.
That's all this one will be. There may be a later election later this fall.
Okay.
Okay. So while at the EIPCA website, there is also information about who we are, what we do, and there's also a very interesting tab there called press releases. If you look at the press releases, it'll show the 2020-2021 press releases and what we've been doing to help ensure election integrity. Our 51-page complaint against California election procedures is currently winding its way through the courts and headed for the 9th District Court of Appeals currently, and is available for your review on this webpage if so desired. In Shasta County, we're needing a minimum of 40 to 50 volunteers that are actively participating in observing our precinct polls and ballot processing. This will start in the neighborhood of actual observations will start around September 11th with early voting in the registrar's office and complete somewhere around the 24th of September when all the ballots that have been cast have been properly counted, vetted, stored, and filed. The volunteer process is very simple as when you sign up on the EIPCA.com webpage, you fill out the volunteer form. Within 2 to 3 days, you'll receive an email to reply back to our headquarters. And we ask that when you put that request in on the webpage, you're going to get within 2 or 3 days a response back. And please watch your inboxes to make sure this response comes back. Last year, we were having quite a bit of problems with virus protection for some reason. Virus protection was taking an unknown source, such as EIPCA and others, and putting it in your unwanted file or even in your trash file. So if you're looking to volunteer, please watch that just to make sure you get that form. The response you receive will contain an application to be filled out in handwriting and a couple of other documents that you'll need to become familiar with, sign, and mail back within 2 to 3 business days back to the headquarters. There is a deadline that's fast approaching for upcoming training. The training will be held here in Reading, and the deadline for training is July 31st or 10 business days from tomorrow, Monday. So it's coming very, very fast for would-be observers to have submitted their online volunteer forms. All observer paperwork that you receive back in response to filling out your web page interest request, it must be filled out, signed, and postmarked to the Arizona office by August 2nd to facilitate our aggressive training schedule due to the September 14th election day. Training is free. It will be conducted in person here in Reading. Ballot processing observation training will be from August 1st through September 8th. And in-person precinct voting observation training will be August 21st to September 8th. Currently, we're planning on 3 to 4 training sessions as planned for each position. And again, you can reach myself. It's Bob. Last name is Holsinger, H-O-L, S as in Sam, I-N-G as in girl, E-R. And I'm at bobholsinger35@gmail.com for emails, or I can be reached at a cell phone at 530-680-0862. Patty Smith is a Tehama County Election Integrity Project California coordinator. She can be reached at S or Sierra M I P as in Paul A T T Y as in Yankee at gmail.com. And her phone number is 530-586-2166. Elections without integrity, we don't have elections. So we really need your support and need your help. If you would please, I encourage you to go look at the EIPCA.com webpage, become an informed Californian, and guard the future for our next generations. Thank you, David. Thank you very much to KCNR for giving us the opportunity to talk this morning.
It's our pleasure. And this is one of the things, folks, because if you are political and you have these long-form political debates and you go on to Facebook and spend 28 days in a Facebook comment argument with the other side, and yet you don't show up and vote, and you don't show up and observe, what really are you doing? And this is what we need to focus on here in our future, is we need to focus on our election integrity. We need to trust but verify. We need to have observers that are there so that at the end of the race, we can all shake hands with the other side and say, hey, that was good. We'll see you in 4 years, and good luck while we end up going through this time. And right now, this last election, we didn't have that. We have half of America that doesn't believe in the vote that ended up going through and doing that, and we have a lot of folks that are not wanting to do an audit. So let's nip this in the bud right now, and let's make sure that during this time we get the 40 to 50 people that we need to get trained up to represent us, to end up having a look at the election integrity as it's going through and observe these ballots, so we don't have to have an audit here in the future. That's the whole point of this. Is that well spoken?
Well spoken. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And so, do you guys have anything else that you'd like to let us know on this as far as the dates that are going to be coming up for when to vote, as far as anything else that you'd like to share on that? Or if all, any of our callers have any questions, you can call in at 605-4567.
That'll be fine with me.
Good.
One thing we might ask is, why is this so important? Voting used to be so simple. You go into your voting poll, you show them your identification. They check you off a list, hand you your ballot, fill it out. You're done.
Times change, don't they?
Oh,
rules change, laws change.
With like I say, I've just became involved with election integrity just very recently, but and anybody who goes to that website, there's a wealth of information on there. It's all about the work that they're doing and the work that they have been doing. But one thing you've got to understand is there's a lot of passionate people out there for whatever reason, for the recall, for whatever candidate they're supporting, whatever school board member they're interested in getting elected. And your vote is extremely important, and it ought to just really piss you off knowing that the vulnerabilities, especially with the vote by mail, is so rampant. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've got pages and pages of ways it can go wrong. There's already rules and on the books about how to protect our voting rights.
Well, and one of the things that I would end up saying as far as that goes is, I know you guys, due to the 51-page complaint, are not at liberty to discuss some of the things that are there. And this is one of the problems that we see with election integrity. You guys may not be able to say some things, but I can. So here's what I'm going to tell you, folks. He was pretty lightly saying, go there, and if you should be interested or would be interested, you can read the 51-page complaint. And they're not at liberty to discuss that because apparently election integrity is something that once they file a complaint, then there's gag orders to where you can't actually go through and talk about ongoing litigation, because that seems fair and transparent. Now, here's what I will say. Go to that website, read the 51-page report, because that's why it's a little bit low-key. That's why there's a little bit less conversations than I normally have, because I'm over here teeming with information about what just took place over in Georgia and what they ended up finding across the board. And once our guests leave and they're not legally liable for what that is, we're going to go into some of those things, and we're going to end up doing a little bit deeper dive on that. Does that sound like a fair point, guys?
Most definitely. Thank you. Thank you for understanding. There is restraints at this point. But the complaint is there for everyone to look at, download, and become knowledgeable. And knowledge is power.
And so I would strongly encourage you guys to do that. If you would, please let us know that website one more time.
That's E is in Echo, C is in Charles, H is in Hotel. Excuse me. E-C-I, Mexico, Echo Charlie, India, Papa, hyphen, C-A, or Charlie Alpha, .com. And I think you can all find it pretty easy, E-I-P-C-A.com.
Perfect. And Travis, can we go ahead and get that over in the chat room?
All right. Thank you very much, folks. Have
Thanks
a great
for
day.
Being on.
Take care.
All right, so we will get into a little bit of discussion on what we saw take place yesterday, and with what, actually, my wife and I were still here in a little bit transition, getting in and out of the out of the area here, but my wife and I went through and rewatched the entirety of the Red, White, and Blueprint yesterday. And if you guys haven't done that so far in the process of looking at this recall and what these folks have gone through when they're trying to get it going and how they started all this and how this started as a community movement and the things that they've had to battle through on this. What were your thoughts on that, Edith?
It was surreal, and then learning the information of the background of why it came to this point was kind of shocking. Like, why would you go so far as to make it to where it's harder on the people you're supposed to be representing?
Mm-hmm. And it really is something that everybody should see. And even if you've watched it, go back and watch it again. It's the Red, White, and Blueprint. You can actually find it on YouTube as well. And we sat there in our living room and we watched it. And we saw the complaints of the people. And we saw how hard they tried here in this community, here in this county, to make their voices heard. And how hard our Board of Supervisors didn't listen to them, even going so far as to get them to where you have doctors that are going up there and sharing their experiences, only to get to their point and have them be told, your 3 minutes are up. That type of representation is never going to do anything for you. And that's the biggest reason why I end up seeing, for me, these people have to be recalled. It's why I support the movement. You have a person that doesn't have 5 minutes to give you to understand your medical profession within this community and how valuable your voice is within this community and give them a point of view that they may not be getting from their higher-ups that are telling them what to do. And meanwhile, we're watching businesses that are closing down. We're watching our community go through mass exodus of people that have lost everything and now are leaving and don't feel like they're represented here within the community, and people that could literally care less, texting on their phones, typing, looking down and not caring what the person right before them who elected them or is one of their constituents and just doesn't care. What's your thoughts on that, miss?
Watching it, and like as you were saying, which is actually how I feel too about watching it, and then hearing about the budget that was, you'd explain better on like the whole budget aspect, but it was kind of like
they're over budget. They're taking the money from the people. They're taking the COVID relief money, and instead they're sending it to all of the government employees for their unpaid pensions and for anything else that they want, when a lot of the lion's share of that money should have actually ended up going to the people. I don't know the exact numbers.
It's a mismanagement of their budgeting, that they're using it for things that makes no sense to be using it on.
Well, and that money, COVID relief should be going to the people of the community, not the government of the community. And it was some ridiculous number, like they got $14 million and $8 million of it went to the city or to the people there within the government to fund everything that they wanted to fund. But very little of it actually went to the community members. And so go and watch it, folks. If you haven't watched it already, keep an open mind, even if you've been one of these people on the other side of it. Just look at both sides, because I look at both sides when I see it. I understand the concept and the mindset of wanting to protect people and wanting to keep people safe. And I think through those portions of it, and I also see the need for liberty and self-reliance and the need to be able to run and operate your business. Because just because a virus comes along doesn't mean that you're able to stop paying for your mortgage, stop paying for your car payment, stop paying for your food, your groceries, your clothes, your kids. It doesn't mean all those things stop. And so when you take into account that, hey, you want safety, but you also don't want to completely decimate and destroy somebody's life, livelihood, and everything they've worked for, we watched dreams over these last 2 years that not only got crushed, that died. We watched businesses that went under. I had a friend of mine that was looking to expand his business and make it into a nationwide business through franchising. And he had three eateries that were around here. And now he has no eateries that are around here. That was dreams for him that I've watched him and known him for 20 years building this up. I've watched him suffer while he lets his managers take money and they take pay and he doesn't get anything but the bare necessities to get by for 20 years so that he can have something for his future. And now I've watched that future go by the wayside. And that's just one story of all of these other people that are out there that are upset and frustrated with these board of supervisors that are not listening to them, that are not hearing their voices. And this is my plea to both sides to just listen and see all of those videos and see what's going on and try to put yourself in their shoes at that point in time to where you can see their frustration. And this is something to where just because we have a recall doesn't mean that the democratic process is gone. That's just the democratic process starting. So we don't need to be in the streets. We don't need to be angry at each other on that. But we do need to, if you believe in our movement, go out there and knock doors and gather signatures and be part of the democratic process. That's all it is. That's what it is, folks. So with that, we will go to a break, and we'll talk about some of the stuff that's going nationwide right now when we come back. You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Open the door, Richard. Open the door, Richard. Open the door, Richard. Hey, Dick, open that door.
Open the door, Richard. Open the door and let me in. Open the door, Richard. Richard, why don't you open that door? Open the door, Richard. Open the door and let me in. Open the door, Richard. Richard, why don't you open that door?
Now, here I am standing, digging in my hip pocket. And here I am standing, scratching in my pants pocket. And I'm out here groping in my coat pocket. But man, I don't know. I just can't find that key. I don't know.
Open the door, baby. Open the door and let me.
It's the Ramsey Show, where we talk about your life and your money. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com. Tune in to Mark Levin, Dave Ramsey, and Ben Shapiro. Plus, don't miss our local shows, including Free Fire Radio on KCNR.
Since 1890, Stifel has established itself as one of the nation's leading wealth management and investment banking firms by understanding clients' hopes and dreams, focusing on building and preserving wealth. Simply put, when you achieve your goals, we achieve ours. I'm proud to be a part of Stifel as a financial advisor. This is Susan Eastman, First Vice President Investments. Call today for quality time well spent. 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51. In a Jefferson state of mind.
You don't have to be a Native American to access quality health care. Radiant Rancheria's Churn Creek Healthcare and Central Valley Healthcare are open to anyone with Medicare, Medi-Cal, or Partnership Health. Our health system never charges co-pays, deductibles, share of costs, or even a sliding fee scale. Patients never have to pay to access quality, compassionate health care. Radiant Rancheria Tribal Health System. Changing how healthcare is delivered. Call us today to schedule an appointment.
Ah!
bongo, I don't want to leave the Congo. Oh, no, 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 no.
No, 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 no. Bingo, bango, bongo, I'm so happy in the jungle. And I'll tell you so you will know. Each morning a missionary advertised with neon signs. He tells the native population that civilization is fine.
And three educated savages holler from a bamboo tree.
That civilization is the thing for me to see.
Ready?
Whoa. Whoa, bongo, 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 I don't want to leave the Congo. No, 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 no.
This song is really relevant about today.
Yeah.
the song is called Civilization by Louis Prima, like in the 40s.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it's about what's happening. Just, let's get out of here.
Well, there's so many things that we're predicting moments like this. You have the fourth turning. You have the songs in the past about revolution and otherwise that when you end up seeing them and looking at them in today's context, just is stunning. And it's like with the censorship and everything else, 1984 is looking more and more relevant every day. So I actually have a clip here that I'd like to play. And I was thinking over this week, and if there's one clip everybody should see and understand, it's this one right here. Because this is the conversation that we need to be having.
It now appears there actually was meaningful voter fraud in Fulton County, Georgia, last November. That is not a conspiracy theory. It's true. From the beginning, this show has tried to be fact-based when we talk about the 2020 election results. So here's what we know tonight, factually. At least 36 batches of mail-in ballots from the November election were double-counted in Fulton County. That's a total of more than 4,000 votes. Those numbers come from a group called Voter GA, which, along with Bob Chile, sued to get them. The final tally from the double counts we know about amounts to more than 3,300 votes for Joe Biden and 865 votes for Donald Trump. Now, before you dismiss Bob Chile and Voter GA as dishonest partisan actors, keep in mind that the strongly left-of-center Atlanta Journal-Constitution appears to agree with this, at least in outline. The newspaper reviewed the available digital ballot images independently and concluded that hundreds of ballots were improperly duplicated. What does that look like exactly? Well, here's what it looks like. At a press conference yesterday, a consultant with Voter GA called David Cross showed how we can be certain that votes in Fulton County were counted more than once. Watch.
What I'm going to show you here is two ballots side by side. One of them is marked for Jason Shaw. It's got a little squiggle mark next to it. You can see it's got the identical mark on the second one. And the ballot image is stored up here on the top left. So this one over here is scanner 5162, that's scanner number 3, fax number 235, image number 19. And that matches 234, image 59. So you have the same ballot counted twice in the images and counted in the audit. How that's possible, I don't know.
How's that possible? I don't know. Every American should want to know, because the answer gets to the heart of the integrity of our elections, otherwise known as our democracy. We're not talking about a couple of ballots here. We're talking about a lot of ballots, at least hundreds of ballots involved, enough potentially to affect the outcome of the election. Here's another example.
Here's one next one. All right, so same fax number 234, image number 2, and 235, image number 61, Republican, 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 all the way down to the point where this little spot up in Fannie Willis matches this one over here. There's no question that that ballot was counted twice.
So what's the explanation for this? Well, if you ask Fulton County, these discrepancies, the ones you just saw on the screen, were isolated incidents. Just a handful of bad ballots happens all the time. The county claims that any errors were caught in previous recounts. The problem is that neither one of those claims is true. Surveillance footage obtained by Voter GA appears to show large numbers of ballots being scanned multiple times. Pay attention in the tape we're showing you to the woman wearing yellow at the desk. According to voter GA, she slides ballots into a scanning machine, removes the ballots, and then reinserts the same ballots. This happens multiple times. The question is, how many times were those ballots counted? Was each vote counted more than once? Fulton County won't answer that question. Now, one way to know the answer would be to check what are called audit tally sheets. Tellingly, for months after the presidential election, Fulton County failed to provide more than 100,000 of those tally sheets, including 50,000 of them for mail-in ballots. When voter GA finally forced Fulton County to turn over the tally sheets, the conclusion was stunning. Here's what the audit found. Quote, 7 falsified audit tally sheets containing fabricated vote totals. For example, a batch containing 59 actual ballot images for Joe Biden and 42 for Donald Trump was reported as 100 for Biden and 0 for Trump. The 7 batches of ballot images with 554 votes for Joe Biden, 140 votes for Donald Trump, and 11 votes for Joe Jorgensen had tally sheets in the audit falsified to show 850 votes for Biden, 0 votes for Trump, and 0 votes for Jorgensen. Wait, did you just follow that? How is that not flat-out criminal fraud? We'd love to know, because it certainly sounds like flat-out criminal fraud. We've obtained photographs showing what went on during the recount process for mail-in ballots in Fulton County. These pictures were taken by a whistleblower who participated in the recount. She said she noticed something odd, as she did. None of the ballots that she saw had any creases on them. You can see the stacks of unfolded ballots on your screen now. That's strange because, of course, mail-in ballots need to be bent in order to be mailed in. These ballots clearly had never been inside an envelope. And then the whistleblower noticed something else. All of the ballots, the whistleblower tells us, have been filled out by a printer, not by hand. And many of them supported the exact same candidates, Democrats, including Joe Biden. Voter GA detected a series of other apparent irregularities in the recount. The group's audit found, for example, that, quote, over 200 Fulton County mail-in ballot images contained votes that were not included in the hand count audit results for the November election. Now, why is that? We don't know. Keep in mind, once again, the results in the state of Georgia were decided by fewer than 13,000 votes. It was a close race. Every vote mattered. And then there's this. An elections expert called Mark Davis analyzed data from the post office. He found that nearly 35,000 Georgia voters moved out of their county of residence more than a month prior to Election Day. They were ineligible to vote, and yet they did. They still voted in their old county. That is illegal. It's not a small thing. Violating election law is something we should care about. And by law, their votes should have been excluded from the total. But they were not excluded. Why are we okay with that? Why are we okay with any of this? Well, we're okay with it because we've been told we have to be okay with it. We're undermining democracy if we ask questions about what happened during the 2020 election. And, of course, that's a perfect inversion of the truth. Without answers to legitimate questions like the ones we just posed, and those are legitimate questions, democracy dies. People begin to understand the system they've been told is on the level is, in fact, rigged. And when they believe that, God knows what they do next. So let's find out what actually happened. Let's find out immediately. Let's find out without shame. It's our right to know. It's our responsibility to know.
Yeah. That one's a little heavy. I mean, that's the questions that everybody's been having. Because what do you do? That's the real thing, is what do you do if you have proof that the election was, at least in some places, fraudulent? And when you see that and you want to look into these other places, they hire 100 attorneys to fight you from being able to do an audit and actually see what's going on. When you have vote tally sheets that are flat out fraudulent that we know of, and no justice is served. Nobody wants this to happen. I can tell you right now, if the shoe was on the other foot, there would be people rioting in the streets if Donald Trump looked like he did what happened with Joe Biden. People would be rioting in the streets and burning things down. I know that because it already is happening. It's just not for that reason. So what do we do when we don't know? Well, then one thing that you can do is you can sign up and you can go be an observer. And we need more observers in these places, and we need to know the laws. We need to know what we can do, and we also need to have the situations to where we're not being forced to the opposite side of the room to observe with binoculars like what happened in some of these places. So that's why these trainings are so important, and that's why we're bringing in people who are from bipartisan areas to be able to do the training. They're not going to say, hey, nah, you're a Democrat. You can't train with us. You can't be an observer for us. Our democratic process is just that, democratic.
Or we could also make it to where they can't push the observers out like they did with...
No, that's already the way it is legally. Mm-hmm. So it looks like we have a caller. We have Ron. Good morning. Good morning, Ron.
Yes, good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, doing pretty good. Am I on air?
You are.
I did not hear you.
Yes, you are.
Okay. You know, I'd like to speak to some of the things you've been talking about earlier this morning. I got out of the military back in the 60s, and there was a guy, I can't think of his name, he was with the John Birch Society, and he started telling me about different things that was that our government wanted to do. Disarm us was one of them, have a cashless society. So they, the all-powerful, criminally corrupt elite, I call them, can control the people. And the different things that they wanted to do, I mean, so now that there's Common Core and to control a school system to start deprogramming the young people, mm-hmm. that started when I was in school back in the 40s, in the late 40s, early 50s.
Mm-hmm.
They started, stopping phonics. And some of the schools started not teaching your basic, your civic things. And it's just progressed to where it's at, the junk that's going on today. And I've got some things here. It's called executive orders for the New World Order. I gave a couple of those pamphlets to Carl and, Trish Clark. I don't know if they could show you that stuff. But anyhow, there's the Bilderberg Group here, and that was started back in the 50s by Prince Reinhard, something from the Netherlands. But anyhow, David Rockefeller and Henry Kissinger run what I think they run the Bilderberg Group here in the United States, and this is part of this New World Order nonsense.
Well, and what I would say, Ron, is that you have these groups, and there are these groups of power, and there's powerful people, and you have their interests that they're constantly working towards. And a lot of people end up thinking that it's a grand conspiracy, where a lot of these groups are certainly doing what they want in their own interests, like the Bohemian Grove and the rest of these. But you also have these much larger scale groups. It's why I've focused in on the Great Reset and the World Economic Forum, because they really are having a game plan that is completely broken down. And one of the things that they put on was Event 201, which took place on October 19th, 2019, 1 month before the pandemic had its first cases. And they ended up having a situation to where they put on this large-scale pandemic exercise that involved Facebook and Google and all of these world leaders. And you see what comes out of their own mouths that should be on every news station across the globe if we had honest news and media, because they're basically saying we want to push the reset switch and we want to change this whole world. In fact, I've got one of them right here. So this is from worldtribune.com, and Schwab set out to sell the Great Reset in the world order of things in three simple steps, the analysis noted. One analysis is your intention to revamp every aspect of society with global governance and keep repeating that message. Two, when your message isn't getting through, simulate fake pandemic scenarios and show why the world needs a Great Reset. Three, if the fake pandemic scenarios aren't persuasive enough, wait a couple of months for a real global crisis to occur and repeat step one. In May 2018, WEF actually partnered with Johns Hopkins to simulate a fictitious pandemic. It was called Claude X. It was set up to show how prepared the world would be if it ever faced such a crisis. In October 2019, WEF teamed up with Johns Hopkins and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to stage Event 201, another pandemic exercise. Both simulations concluded the world wasn't prepared for a global pandemic. Hinchliffe wrote, less than 6 months after the conclusion of Event 201, which specifically simulated a coronavirus outbreak, the World Health Organization, who officially declared that the coronavirus had reached pandemic status on March 11th of 2020. Since then, Hinchliffe noted, about every scenario covered in Claude X and Event 201 simulations has come into play, including governments implementing lockdowns worldwide, the collapse of many industries, growing mistrust between governments and citizens, a greater adoption of biometric surveillance technologies, social media censorship in the name of combating misinformation, the desire to flood communication channels with authoritative sources, a global lack of personal protective equipment, the breakdown of international supply chains, mass unemployment, and rioting in the streets. This was all covered in these exercises that were put on from the World Economic Forum. And then right after the pandemic started breaking out, they came to session with all the world leaders, including Trump was there, and they ended up saying how this was the opportunity for a Great Reset that was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And I'm just asking the questions that I think everybody should be asking. If these people are dedicating $40 trillion to do this, and part of this whole thing is to redo conserves within this country and have more of our land that's given back to nature. Now we have America the Beautiful. It's to dedicate 30% of the land that's currently in private hands is supposed to go back to the federal government to be returned to wildlife by 2030. We have the same initiative is going to do 50% by 2050, and they claim it's all voluntary, and that's great so long as it always is. But what we end up seeing time and time again is, cool, it sounds voluntary. No worries if somebody wants to do that, great. Except then it starts becoming not voluntary or less voluntary, or you're incentivized to do it, or you need to do it in order to have this project approved or that project approved. And then once it's given back, it's out of the hands of the American public. And what does that do? That drives property prices up. It drives everything else up.
Yeah. Well, they've been planning this for a long time. Matter of fact, what you just talked about, in the United States, it was called rewilding.
Mm-hmm.
There was a young lady that used to belong to a snowmobile club, and she came to one of the Tea Party meetings. I think it might have been Greg Mann's a long time ago. And she talked about this rewilding and taking the people off the land, basically. But this has been planned for a long time, and there's a book called The Bilderberg Group. It's by Daniel Estulin, E-S-T-U-L-I-N. And I've been told that you can still get this book at Barnes & Noble. But they only meet once a year, and it's all the world's leaders. I call them the Kremlin Krupp elite. And this is what's been going on for a long time, and it's coming to a lot of it's coming to fruition now. Some of the stuff that this guy talked to me about when I was pretty young back in the 60s when I got out of the military.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, I just thought I'd bring this up to you. And I've got some of these New World Order, the executive orders for the New World Order. Maybe I should go get a bunch of them printed up if I just knew how to get them to some of you people so you could see what they're talking about. I mean, my gosh, it's control. We're the last government, or the last United States is the last one to still own guns, pretty much, and have our own say in things, and that's why they're trying to take us down. One of these days, I'll go down and get some of these printed up, and I'll bring them down to your station here.
Drop them off. I'll have a look at it.
Give them out to you people so you can kind of know what's going on. I've been talking about this for years, but
yep.
Anyhow, I've taken up enough of your time, so I'll let you go back, and I'll keep listening. So anyhow, thank you for your show.
Of course. Thanks for the call, Ron. So yeah, in that regards, a lot of this does seem like it has been planned out for a long time. This same article goes on between 2014 and 2017. Hinchcliffe noted the WEF to reshape, restart, and reboot, and reset the global order every single year, each amid solving various crises. In 2014, WEF published a meeting agenda entitled Reshaping the World, Consequences for Society, Policies, and Business. 2015, WEF publishes articles in collaboration with Vox EU called We Need to Press the Restart in the Global Economy. And so there's elements of all of this to where it's just following the dots and seeing what's going on, because as our long-term listeners know, I've been talking about this since about a year before the elections, probably about 6 months before the elections. I mentioned that we were going to be in the midst of a color revolution based upon documents that were directly from these people saying how they needed to stage a color revolution in order to get the ball rolling on these things. And maybe next week, maybe what we'll do is we'll take about an hour and we'll go through some of this stuff and we'll kind of explain where they're at, because to know how to deal with these people, it's important to know their plan, but it's also important to make a stand here in your local community to put yourself in the place to where you're able to still be in control of your own government. And right now, my problem with our government is it doesn't really seem like we're in control, and I don't think any of us really know who's actually in control, because Biden clearly is
not in control.
I mean, from his own words, do what they tell me to do, and they'll get mad at me if I turn around and keep talking here, and I'll get in trouble. I mean, it may just be vitriol from good old Joe, who's done that throughout his career, but you're the president of the United States. You better damn not have somebody telling you what to do. We elected you to be the guy that's there, supposedly. And so that's the problem, is it just feels like we're being lied to constantly. And I think all any of us want is the truth. And that's
transparency.
It. Yeah. And so there's a lot of things that are going on with this to where it's wrong. Guys, think about this. The January 6th riots, you have grandmothers and you have kids of people who were in these families that went in, that police officers opened the door for. And you have people that are being held in solitary confinement without trial and no set trial date for the past 7 months. Really? In addition to that, you've got Capitol Police that are setting up locations in New York and California and saying how they're going to become an intelligence branch and how they're going to start tracing and tracking any information of anybody that was out there that supported people going in there or helped them or provided funding for them to get gas and be able to drive down there to that meeting. You have instances of at least 20 officers who were federal officers that were likely within these groups based upon their not being charged, while people lower than them are. This whole thing just reeks of wrong. You have an Antifa guy who was right there next to Ashley Babbitt, who was the only person that actually died that day of causes of the riot. Everyone else was health conditions or otherwise, when we have a media that just straight up lied and said that, I think it was Officer I'm not going to say his name because I don't know his name, but he said he was bludgeoned with a fire extinguisher to death, and that wasn't the case, and yet they ran with that for 3 days before it ended up getting out. Everything around us just seems so curated, and when you stop and just take a step back and you look at it, you can see it's all curated for a reason. There's a song from Tom McDonald that says they never freed the slaves. They just put screens in our hands, and we controlled ourselves with our own chains. And this is the thing, is they're literally saying that they are going to work with Facebook and tell Facebook what to remove. And they're going to work with search engines and tell them what to remove. What's the difference is these people want to control what you see, what you think, what you hear. And they don't want you to think for yourself. I can bring you news media article after news media article saying, don't do the research. CNN says it's illegal for you to look at Hillary's emails, but we can look at them for you because we're journalists. That's a straight-up lie. It wasn't illegal for you to look at those emails, but they wanted you to believe it was so that you didn't end up coming to the conclusions that they didn't want you to. What's your thoughts on this? Oh, looks like we've got Lori on call. Here I was just over in my own little world, folks. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning. Am I on air?
You are.
Hey, nice to have both of you sharing today as co-hosts. It's very refreshing. Thank you.
It's our pleasure.
I was going to do a quick update, hold the date for Saturday, July 31st. Because we've been asking for a town hall for over a year, we're not getting it from public officials or the supervisors or other entities, we took it upon ourselves, meaning myself and Richard Gallardo. We're with Shasta County Citizen Journalists, and we have booked Lake Redding Park the whole day. We'll have a food truck. I think it's called Holy Crepes. We've got an ice cream truck. It's kid-friendly, you know, games, hula hoops, popcorn machine. You can bring stuff to barbecue if you like, bring beverages. We do have insurance booked, liability insurance. Different groups are invited, so if you're, Back the Blue folks, come on down. And if you're from a religious group, come on down. If you're from Red, White, and Blue, come on down. If you're from the anti-recall, come on down. Recall people, we want people to be face-to-face, not doing stuff behind the scenes, or if I could just say this, we want people that are polite, peaceful, respectful, and non-disruptive. It's a private event. We've paid for it. And we will have our own security if it does become hostile or disrupting a family good time outdoors. So if people want to email suggestions for some guest speakers, we've already got a few nominated. I'll give you the email, and that is S like Sam, C like Cat, J like John, at protonmail.com. And that is one of our editors' email, and we will take a look at that and entertain, some music. I don't know if we'll get a live band, but we might get a radio station that wants to do a live event schedule or a live, what do they call it, a promo or a whatever, just around the speakers. We encourage children and youth to come and talk, so this is not the three-minute board of supervisors. We might have it 5 minutes or 6 minutes or whatever, but we just, want to make sure we are starting to hear from everyone because it's been a rough year and a half, folks. We know it. It's been awful, and sometimes the nasty, ugly side of people just comes through and stays through. This is why we've had trouble in the chat room with the troll hater energies and vibes. So that's pretty much the announcement. I think Richard and I will be on next week from 10 to 11 mm-hmm. discussing the issue of the vaccines and death mm-hmm. Concerns. I think I have that right, 10 to 11 next week.
That's correct.
Okay, well, we look forward to that. So, again, hold the date, folks. We need some family time and happy times and create some good, positive memories for the children. And no, they don't need to be gagged and suffocated when they're outside in a mask. Unless you want to do that, we're going to do our best not to, give a funny look. But that's your right. If you want to gag your child, okay, I guess that's not child abuse. But you get my point. Folks, we need to have some good times outside. The event is free, so please tell others we don't have an advertising budget. We're doing this on our own bootstrap.
Perfect. Thank you very much,
Lori. All right,
Lori.
Have a great week, you guys.
See you
Thank
next
you.
Week. So, yeah, and that sounds fun.
Mm-hmm.
And what she means there, too, for those of our listeners that are like, oh, my gosh, she just said gag your child and otherwise – really, folks, what it comes down to is when you start looking at the virus and looking at who it affects the adults. Most generally, these kids are not spreading the virus. Asymptomatic people are not spreading the virus based on the research that I've done. I mean, once again, talk to your doctor, and hopefully you have a good doctor who's a family doctor who's actually there with you and seeing your family and see what's going on in the community and obviously listen to their advice. And I do that same thing myself, and I believe that we all just need to be open and talk about this. So Lori is going to be on and share with us what she has, because people are not generally doing that at all, and we need both sides. So This has been KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, Sovereign Minds. Mark and Linda are going to be out next week, and that's it. Have a great weekend, y'all.
I've seen trouble all my day.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.